Welcome to Season 4 of the Leadership Educator Podcast, your source for knowledge and expertise on facilitating leadership education, training, and development. Interested in keeping up with the latest conversations across the leadership discipline? Want to add more to your resource toolbox with practical strategies for teaching, learning, and program design without changing your routine? Well, this is the podcast for you. If you haven't done so already, please hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode.
Hi, I'm Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University.
Hi, and I'm Dan Jenkins, Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine, and we are so thrilled for our first episode of Season 4.
Oh, yes, so thrilled. It's crazy to say Season 4, right? It feels like we just began as well as started a long time ago, so it's so interesting that we're here now, but today it's just us. We don't have any guests, so you're stuck with the two of us.
That's right.
We wanted to lead into the next year. I don't know if that's good or bad yet, right? Good because I have had my coffee, but bad because it's so new in the new year. It's that space where people can kind of mess up and nobody judges them because we're all trying to, you know, jump back into work. Anyway, with this episode today, we wanted to lead into the next series of episodes, our upcoming season, based on some conversations that we've already had. So Dan, are you ready for this episode and the next series of episodes we're going
to
talk
about? It's 2021.
About?
I'm ready for anything that doesn't have to do with 2020. So, I've had enough. So what a year. So yeah, our next series of episodes. So we're looking at, it's going to be a hodgepodge of resources we found, you know, particularly interesting, exciting innovations, things that different associations are working on, some of their initiatives, movers and shakers in the field. We're going to have quite a mix of guests this season, and all of this mixed in with some pragmatic ideas to support leadership educators. That's our goal. That's what we do here, is we're trying to increase the capacity of leadership educators who do this work that we share love for in these uncertain times, most closely for the spring 2021 semester, for those of you that are working in higher education somewhere across this globe. So
You know, it's interesting. We talk spring 2021. I feel like there's a range of dates that the spring 2021 semester can start. It's either going to start like January 5th, January 11th, for some of our colleagues, February 1st. I know when we were talking about this episode and thinking about kind of how can we kick off season four, we thought about kind of, you know, what's happening in our institutions and what's happening in leadership education. And maybe, you know, today, as we talk through a little bit of that, folks will find some value that they can take moving forward. I know I start every semester and every year thinking about some of my larger goals. I try to not just do professional goals. I try to actually do some fun goals too. For example, 1 year, I vowed to visit all six of my closest friends, like visit their house or visit their state. And while that seems like an easy feat, there were two that lived in one in California, one in Colorado, one in Miami, two in New York, and one like 10 minutes away. So when I backed out, that was at least four plane tickets, four flights, and two train tickets. But I did it that year. So anyway, I always start thinking about my goals for 2021. This year, I'm focused on finishing my PhD work. I'm getting my doctorate in leadership and change management, and I'm almost at candidacy. So if anybody out there that has been at this stage, if you can send me really good vibes, I appreciate it.
I'm just so excited for you, Laura, because I know that's been a long time coming.
Oh, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it has been like a good amount of time. Like I'm on pace considering what I'm trying to do. But at the same time, I just want to read something that's not assigned. And I don't want to critique it right now. I just want to like consume something for just my own just general knowledge and not have to evaluate this person's methodology or anything like that. But I'm also though excited about my work. And so for this year, that's my goal, finish my PhD work. My dissertation chair is amazing. It was Scott Allen's dissertation chair, our guest from a few episodes ago, one of our more popular conversations. Scott did the one on teaching in a virtual environment. But again, really excited about that. And for those who don't know or haven't, I haven't mentioned it. I don't know if I have, but I look at faculty-student interaction and how do we as faculty members, how do we learn and apply strategies to building relationships with students so that we create this positive learning environment so that they can meet their academic outcomes. So long-winded, that's what I'm interested in. What do you got going on? What kind of goals do you have for 2021 this year?
Thought you'd never ask, Lauren. So... So yeah, I mean, it's been interesting the last maybe two, 3 years. It's been a while since I've dived into a big research project, although I do have one wrapping up that was a qualitative project. Melissa Rocco, who's works at University of Maryland, and we interviewed, maybe 14 or 15 folks around the country that had engaged in some and doing leadership program reviews. So we're going through some of that data. We interviewed them around this time last year. And so we're diving into some of that data and hoping to get some of that information out. And then, so I'm excited about that because it has been, I'm really trying to think like how long it's been since I really dived into some of my own collected own original data. I've done a lot of, and been, you know, very fortunate to, and certainly recognize that privilege of being invited to contribute to a lot of different new directions for student leadership issues or some other invited pieces. And so I'm just excited to comb through some of my own data and then looking forward to a project. I've got a graduate assistant in our new PhD program. So we successfully finished our first full semester of a brand new PhD program in leadership at University of Southern Maine. And so one of the graduate assistants is really excited about working with me on a project to look a little bit more at what have leadership educators been doing in their classrooms, whether they've been virtual or face-to-face or blended or what have you over this last year or so, but also to collect some data on what leadership educators working in co-curricular spaces have been doing. And then if I get my dream wish and we can get a critical mass to also be a part of what will hopefully be a pretty large quantitative survey, web survey, to also see what folks are doing outside of higher education and consulting spaces and training and development within large organizations or governmental entities or what have you. So I think we're probably going to spend a lot of the semester trying to mine some listservs and some other things to see where can we find folks that are doing this work and then design the survey instrument and hopefully get that out sometime before the end of the academic year. So super excited about that. I haven't got to geek out on quantitative data in a little bit of time.
So. Spoken like a true researcher. Mm. Ooh, these surveys, right?
That's right. Mining data, cleaning data, yay.
you know, it's interesting. I think when people read that initial purpose, like the intention of this survey is, I think people are going to jump at that because so many people want to know what's happening. And if someone is collecting that data, they're going to be really excited to give their voice, but also give their voice, share it with others, and then also kind of look for the results of that. So that should be a good one. I'm interested. So at least you got one person that'll fill out your survey.
N of one, at least, right?
Yeah, right. Well, a colleague of mine, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, was working on his doctorate. And he said that like he put out good vibes by completing every survey that came to him. He said, I know I'm going to need it when I have to do my survey. I'm putting everything out there. I'm completing every survey possible. And as somebody who's trying to do a mixed methods dissertation, I'm completing every survey possible for those good vibes. So you talked about your research goals. We actually have some podcast goals. I don't know if you want to share with our listeners our podcast goals for the semester. So I'll share. So we did a survey. Dan's laughing at me, if you could see his face. We did a survey last year, at the end of last year, where we asked those that listened to our episodes if they could give us some feedback to make sure we have the conversation going in the right direction. And so we are going to incorporate some of that feedback into this year, as well as we're adding a new voice to our planning and process. We have a intern coming in that's going to help us on the back end and maybe add her voice to an episode or two. So it'll be exciting to have that and help us grow and continue to provide and be of service to those that listen. So
yeah,
sound familiar, Dan?
Yeah, no, it does. I think you added that to our episode script here without me seeing it. So, but that is the fun. That is the fun of 2021. So, yeah. And the other things as we look forward here to the spring, and certainly we're living in the higher education world. So, you know, as we look at our semester and think about, you know, what we're looking forward to and growth opportunities out there, definitely looking forward to teaching, you know, my classes this spring. They're both going to be fully online, which is a bit of a change for me. One of my classes, I was a little bit disappointed we weren't able to field a team for the collegiate leadership competition at USM this year. It's going to be virtual this year, and I certainly encourage other institutions to participate. I just wasn't able to recruit enough students, but it is a pretty awesome experience, and you can take a look at collegiateleader.org and see what See what that has to offer there. So instead of doing that, I'm teaching one of my favorite classes, which is just fine. Our course on leadership theory at the undergraduate level, which I just love. We use the Kuznets and Posner's Leadership Challenge and then the Dubrin Leadership Theory Reader, as well as we supplement with Wren's Leader's Companion, which a nice little trifecta of stuff there. So just absolutely love teaching that class, and I've taught that for probably about a decade and some capacity or another. And then a brand new course, graduate course called Leadership Education, which was actually modeled after a course that my co-author of The Role of Leadership Educators, Transforming Learning, Kathy Guthrie, over at Florida State, has been teaching for a few years over at over there at our Lauren and I's alma mater at the Florida State University. So super excited about teaching that course. And these are for graduate students who have some interest in doing the work that we're doing here, teaching leadership. And so kind of a blend of leadership education, college teaching literature. So we're going to use the book that I just mentioned that Kathy and I co-wrote, as well as Dee Fink's Creating Significant Learning Experiences as our primary text. So more on that as that kind of develops. I'll be checking in about that. And hopefully we'll be bringing on Dr. Kathy Guthrie to chat with us a little bit about what she's been doing in that class that she's been teaching, among some other stuff, later in our season, and bounce some ideas off of each other about what's working and what's not in that class, and just kind of see how that evolves. So, yeah. Think,
that sounds really interesting. Those resources, I am always looking for good books, always looking and interested in what people are teaching. And so those resources sound really good. This semester I teach 4-4 load undergrad students, although I am teaching a grad class in the summer. A colleague of mine is out on sabbatical, and so I'm going to take over a class for her while she's out, but that's not until summertime. This semester, I get to dip back into my roots. So before I switched into higher education, I was in sports public relations. And so our college added a sports media relations class, and I'm excited to teach. I'm lucky now that a lot of my friends from that space are now in charge of offices, or some have even moved up to like athletic director positions. And so I'm hoping that I can lean on our friendships a little bit and ask them to come in and join my class to help educate, you know, the next group of hopefully sports PR professionals. That'll be interesting. In keeping with my teaching courses in the fall, so with the fall and moving online, I still taught synchronously. So I didn't have to do too much to my curriculum. I just had to, you know, really think about what could not transfer over from the classroom into that space. And this is the first time in a while I'm not like completely redesigning my syllabus in between semesters. I know it sounds foolish, but I'm a little bit of a type A kind of high standards perfectionist. So I'm like, oh, I got to read a whole book and rewrite my entire syllabus every semester. And this semester I'm like, no, what you did was fine. And it worked, you know, tweak a couple of things. Like I know we talked on an earlier episode about inserting some service opportunities into my classes, but this is really one of the first semesters I'm not completely like redesigning my classes. And I'm excited about that because I felt that over the summer, it forced me to look at how I was teaching, and between the new training for online and just kind of revisiting some stuff I'd learned about in a teaching certificate program I participated in, I feel like I put together a really good course. And so I'm just kind of delivering again with a new set of students and building a new community around some cool stuff. So I'm really excited about that this semester for sure. So we talked a little bit about kind of what's happening with us. Dan, what's happening in the leadership education community? I know there's a bunch of stuff out because we're about to, again, I think, start up with conference season. So kind of what's happening out there in research and in our conference space?
Yeah, there's all kinds of really, really awesome resources that y'all should be aware of to consume at your leisure, and certainly to get involved if you haven't gotten involved yet. But just so many great activities. You know, I think for better or for worse, some folks really dived into some research projects and some other types of association initiatives during the pandemic, and there's been some really interesting productivity that has emerged over the last year, 18 months or so. I'll start with the new directions for student leadership. If you haven't seen those before, they're just amazing issues based on leadership development. The co-editors of the series are Susan Kamavez and Kathy Guthrie, and they just have been recruiting amazing groups of editors after editors of issues. The most recent one came out, just a couple months ago, or maybe it was just last month, issue 168. So that was evidence-based practices to strengthen leadership development. And the authors were Krista Soria and Matthew Johnson. Krista is one of the most brilliant statisticians I've ever come across in leadership education. She's running the Student Affairs Assessment Program over at the University of Minnesota. And then Matthew Johnson's Associate Professor of Ed Leadership at Central Michigan University. I got to contribute an article with Dave Rosch and just had a blast writing that. He's someone who I've worked with for about a decade in various spaces, but we hadn't had a chance to actually write an article together. So that was a lot of fun. And if you're looking for like what actually works in leadership education, what is evidence-based, they really dive in this issue into that. It's just some great reads and some really, really amazing contributors that they were able to corral to this particular issue. You got folks like John Dugan and Krista and Matt wrote a couple articles. Lindsay Hastings and a bright new a professor there over at Nebraska, Hannah Sunderman, they contributed an article as well on evidence-based practices and mentoring. We've got Vishnu, who's over at University of Illinois, looking at leadership learning partnerships. I mean, just lots and lots of great stuff there. The one that came out just before that was on followership education. Got to contribute an article to that one with Angela Sprenger, who's the Chief Diversity Officer over at Christopher Newport. She was in the business school's faculty just before that. And the two co-editors for that one were Mark Hurwitz and Rachel Thompson. Just an amazing collection of articles on how do you teach followership. I love the way that I actually got to see Mark on a panel several years ago at an ILA conference, and he had this fun activity where he said, "Hey, raise your hand if you're the head honcho in your organization. Everyone reports to you." And there's 150 people in the audience, and like three people stood up. He goes, "All right, so now raise your hand or stand up, if you're not, you report to at least one other person, He's like, and of course, almost the entire room stands up or raises their hand. He's like, "So what's all this, mumbo jumbo about leadership education? And we should be focusing on followership education." It was just kind of a funny way to think about that. And so he really has spearheaded some amazing initiatives globally and was the key convener of an international followership conference a couple of years ago. And I think they'll probably be doing that again sometime soon.
Sounds like a lot of good research, and it sounds like it's all, I hate to say coming to a head, but it sounds like there's a really good match between kind of what's happening in both co-curricular and curricular programming.
Oh, for sure.
with what's being researched. Like, I love that in our field there are or have been times where it felt very like it was just kind of, we were doing research to research, but now it seems like the agenda really matches what's happening. And there's this desire to, doesn't matter what your background is, it's really just this desire to know, how are we helping other people become better leadership educators, regardless of your background or your space, and being really considerate of whose voices are missing or how voices may be marginalized. And also like really just approaching it with this kind of group mindset or just the betterment of everybody that's involved. Like, we want to make this better so that we can make our world better, because we see that our world needs some help. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of the people who should be doing this work.
Without a doubt, they've had such an inclusive collection of authors and co-authors and editors and those issues over the years. So if you haven't checked out that resource, definitely do. Another amazing resource that just came out last month in December. So the National Leadership Education Research Agenda, you may have been familiar with the previous one, 2013 to 2019, that came out right around 2012 or 2013. And so this was a second iteration of that unlike the first one, which I think only had six or seven authors or contributors, and well, a great resource in its own. One of the goals of the editorial team was to really expand the authors, not only in diversity, but roles and across across different sectors and what have you. And so this was an inclusive process of, gosh, I want to say 50 to 60 contributing authors. Just an amazing resource, the Leadership Education Research Agenda 2020 to 2025, Advancing the State of Leadership Education Scholarship. The co-facilitators of that were Tony Andonoro and Kristen Salenti Skendal. Just did an amazing job of facilitating that. And there are nine guiding research priorities within that agenda. Everything from inspiring dialogue and collaborative research within the discipline to maximizing professionalization of leadership education. And so just a great collection of resources of, hey, if you're looking for a dissertation topic, take a look at the research agenda, because it is just loaded with things that you should be looking at. And that I think many scholars and practitioners in the field will be looking at as, you know, what's next in the field and what should I be what should I be looking for, or seeking out as I think about the future? So
that sounds like a good piece of research as well.
Yeah.
Are there other spaces where you think leadership educators should be looking for more good research?
I think the most recent issue of the Journal of Leadership Education is a great one. Just some really, really good articles in there. As always, it's folks in curricular and co-curricular spaces, not just in the U.S., but abroad as well. Jackie Bruce, who's the editor there, and her team, is just, you know, the amount of rigor that goes into those articles has just been incredible, particularly over the last 3 to 5 years. And so if you're looking to see what is the latest research and scholarship in leadership education, that journal is definitely a place to go. And then one of the other major initiatives in the field before we, you know, talk about some of the conferences coming up and wrap up, the International Leadership Association has been doing a global initiative with a task force looking back at the guiding questions. You may be familiar with the ILA's guiding questions for leadership programs. I want to say it was published in 2018 or 2019 that just has some great resources for anyone who wants to start or evaluate or review a leadership program. Barbara Kellerman had spoken at the 2018 conference in West Palm Beach. And she was the closing keynote speaker and had just published Professionalizing Leadership, which I'm actually reading right now and loving. And she was calling out the organization to create a set of guiding standards, not accreditation, but a set of guiding standards for leadership programs. You know, should it, and really pushing that it should include some pretty specific standards around ethics and, you know, and doing, you know, facilitating positive change and what type of training and development and interventions and education is actually effective and relies on the military and what they do a little bit as well, at least in professionalizing leadership. But what this task force has been doing, which is a great collection of leadership educators from across the globe, has been reviewing that old guiding questions document, as well as being informed by a lot of the research and scholarship that's going on across the globe and leadership education spaces. So that group put out some documents, some draft documents for review to the association last month in December, and continues to work. I'm part of that task force and have been a part of some just really amazing conversations, and looking forward to seeing that evolution of that document as it goes through many different channels of reviewers at different levels, and hopefully will be published sometime before the end of the year.
That's awesome. And you said people can get that where again?
I think there was a draft of it posted on the intersections of the International Leadership Association, which is the common message board for members. But that document is an organic document. So I think as different versions emerge, that'll go out to the to that shared board there. So if you're interested in that, if you're not an ILA member, I'm not sure if there's a way to access it, but if you'd like to see a copy of it, you can certainly email me and I'd be glad to share the current version of it.
Yeah, now might be a good time to join ILA as they kick that off if you aren't already a member. I'll tell you, I recently became a member and it's one of my favorite spaces just because there's such a wealth of information shared and you expand your network because you're now able to work with people who are in truly like diverse spaces. Like I was, you know, connected with people who may be in higher ed here, and now I'm connected with people who are in higher ed across the globe. So there's definitely a lot of that benefit.
Yeah, for sure. And as we think about that organization and some of the other conferences and call for proposals that are coming up, so Association of Leadership Educators, you can check out their site at leadershipeducators.org. Proposals for their 2021 conference, which will be in July, but those proposals are due by February 7th. Again, that the ILA, the International Leadership Association that we were just chatting about, that call for proposals should be open any day, perhaps by the time this podcast is released. This year's theme statement is Reimagining Leadership Together. I know it will be a combination. It's going to be in Geneva, and I think they're looking at some type of hybrid model of virtual and face-to-face. And then the Leadership Education Academy that comes out of the ILA, that will be virtual this year. More details to come. That will very likely be in early August as our team works to transform what has been a very, very immersive face-to-face experience the last three times we've hosted it to a very immersive virtual experience. Other than that, we've got ACPA, NASPA, and ACUI. They've got virtual conferences coming up. ACPA's is first couple weeks of March. NASPA's second couple weeks of March. They try not to overlap with each other. And then ACUI is March 3rd through 5th. So those are all professional associations where we've had volunteer members and professional staff come out. You can check out some of the episodes from that would have been early 2020, right before the pandemic. Actually, we recorded all those, but you can learn more about those associations and some of the amazing resources that they have to offer for leadership educators in some of our past episodes.
Yeah. I think this year will be exciting too, because most of the conferences that we had talked about were, you know, emergency pivoting to virtual. And now that they have that one under their belt and they've probably been to a few other spaces, other conferences, I'm sure this year those conferences will again kind of take it a step higher and advance the bar simply because they're now used to it. They've had a full year to prep for this process. And us as participants are also used to it and kind of have adjusted to that space. Like I think I was talking to my husband about this, but it was nice attending some of ILA from my desk because I could still kind of like get my son off to school and be in some of the virtual spaces and in some of the conversations and even some of the networking opportunities that they provided, you know, were super helpful. I didn't know what to expect coming in and I left like, oh, I would definitely do that again. So I think this year I think it's going to be exciting to see how kind of after a year, how people take these conferences to the next level. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, really.
I'm excited.
You know, yeah. Yeah. See what folks learn from their experiences, what they can enhance and, you know, what will remain the same with the virtual experience and, you know, what's transformed and what have you. So, and I think, you know, engaging that type of stuff has certainly helped to move the needle with the capacity of leadership educators to go back to their programs and classrooms and be more effective in some of the virtual spaces as they've seen what has been effective through some of the, you know, the featured presenters and facilitators at some of these conferences. So
yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So with that, yeah, that wraps up this episode of a Leadership Educator Podcast. We would love for you to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Dr. That's Dr. _ leadership. And Lauren is at MRSLAURJB. That's Mrs. Laura JB. And you can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available. And we also encourage you to subscribe and rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
We'd also like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in New Strategy and Management.
And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator. And he's currently an associate professor of trumpet, coordinator of jazz and commercial music, and director of ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. You can check him out at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thanks so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. We hope you'll listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.